and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. God never intended anyone to administer the affairs of God's church and the tithes that are paid thereto except the gift ministers to the church. Now, if you were of the world would love us on. You're not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. They not only believe not in eternity and believe not in retribution, they believe not in God's gifts to the church. And the fact that God will hold them, those gifts, accountable for the iniquity therein. The Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. All the hallowed things includes the tithe. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing. It's a total choice by God. This shall be thine of the most only whole, most only things reserved in the fire. Holy for thee and for thy sons. I've given them unto thee. The best of the oil, the best of the wine, of the wheat, the first fruits of them which shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Well, what right is God to give those lousy birds that constantly gave him trouble the best? Because he's God. If he keeps his word that way, then you have the promise he'll keep his word to you for what he said he'll give you when you tithe. Get out of the holy things. They're none of your business. Your business begins and ends with giving to God his way. And if every other chicken-livered preacher in the country gets on the defensive about it, I'm not. Now get on the telephone and do what God told you to do. Music. I like Baby Grand. Let's hear it again. North, who asked, if you get paid once a year or a month, how is first fruits paid? Now, first fruits is not the primary subject today. Tithing is. If I continue this teaching on giving, I'll get to first fruits. Which you can analogize to the first fruits of the agricultural community of the Old Testament. The first crop off the tree. I've told you many, many times as I've calculated all the giving of God's book, if you're given 25% of your income, you're covering everything. Well, there you're just trusting my analysis of God's book. I'm telling you, if you want a simple formula, if you're given 25%, you got it all. First fruits, offerings, first, second, third, tithe, everything. That way you don't have to plot it. But I've answered this question in the past, and I think I can defend it. You have to pray and ask God and let him guide you, because God loves the hilarious giver. But what I tell you is the first weekly increment of your pay each year belongs to God. That's 1/52nd. And if you get paid once a year, I've kidded, said, well, it's tough, you know. But I smile when I say that. But you pay the first week of every year, you testify to God's ownership that way. You make a new investment, the first return on that investment, again, you can figure it the same way. God works in weekly increments throughout his book. If you get a raise and you're on a job, you don't have to give the whole paycheck, but you should give the first weekly increment of that raise. If you've been out of work and you get a new job, you should give the first week's pay. You've been out of work for so long. I can never figure some people out. They exist with no pay. They get a new job, and then they can't give that first week's pay. That shows how stupid we are. Oh, God, give me a new job. And you've been out of work. You haven't had any money. And you get a job, and you can't afford to give the first week. What if you've been out a week another? I mean, out of work another week? Would you be dead? Now, first fruits. Let me show you how many scriptures I got written in the front of my Bible on first fruits alone. I mean, I have certain things in the front of my Bible. I have the arguments of Jesus' resurrection right on the first page because that's fundamental. Come on, put the camera here. That's fundamental to our faith. My Bible, that's the fundamental stuff. Then the next fundamental stuff's all this on giving. All these verses right on the first page. Reader's Guide to the Holy Bible. I fill that page with good, with giving. This is all first fruits. All the teaching on first fruits. Now, that's not the subject today. If I stay on giving, I'll detail it, and you'll be able to make your own decision. But I've told you what my opinion is right now. More music. Now, wouldn't you love to keep asking questions? You could ask questions till next December and say, well, I'm not sure yet, and you haven't given a dime yet. Just start giving 25%. You'll be okay. Yeah, the first fruits embrace a lot of things. But that's not the subject today. There were heave offerings. Well, that's a subject some Christians have lived and died and never heard about. There were wave offerings. Well, that's a subject that some Christians have lived and died and never heard about. And that's not the subject today, but I'm going to read this verse still in Numbers 18. This is thine, talking to Aaron and his sons, the type of those who preach the gospel in the New Testament. See, people keep saying, well, Jesus was poor. Wait a minute. Wish I could pay taxes by going to a sea and say, fish, swim over here. Plus the fact, though he was rich, he became poor for our sake. If he were of the world would love its own. They don't have the frame of reference. They're ignorant. They're stupid. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. And men and women brought this church into existence in the world, going into the face of lions to say it God's way. Now, you can give that freedom back if you want to. I ain't. The world would not let us get rich, which would give us the option to become poor for the sake of someone, because they're elite fascists who just know that if God were to, they don't believe in God, but if they just know that if you were rich, you wouldn't know how to handle it, particularly preachers. So the idea is keep them poor. Jesus was rich before he became poor, and got much richer because of the deal he made with God. Just get the record straight, friends, and quit letting nincompoops interpret God's word. They don't believe in the eternal perspective. They don't believe he was there at the foundation of the world, spoke as God's agent of creation, and created everything. That's pretty rich, friend. I wish I could speak and hurl out planets with gold in them. And he made a deal. Philippians 2 declares it. that if he would do what he did to save us, it doesn't take the love out of it. But he made a deal. God would give him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. He prayed his Lord's Prayer and he said, Father, I have done that which you sent me to do. Now restore unto me the glory that I had. Quit laying Jesus' little temporary trip on me when what Jesus wants to lay on me is his eternal trip. God made a deal with his son, and he offers a deal to us. It's a liberal, nincompoop view that says that Jesus is to be our example, to be imitated. He's our Lord and Savior who commands us, including the right to command us to be different than him if he wants us to be. He did what only he could do to redeem mankind. No one else can do what he did. He lived the perfect life, not for me to imitate it, but in order that that perfect life might be the price of redemption. In order that the barrier might be removed, that he might put his perfect life in me, that would ultimately, when the God of peace separates us wholly over there, and this old life is laid down, and a new creation in Christ Jesus fully formed over there will not have the contradiction of sin. He knows what he's doing. But the same God who kept his promise with Christ and raised him from the dead and shall give him a throne above all thrones will place us there to reign with him and will keep his word of promise here. Some of you are going to say, well, what about church downtown? Well, that last chapter ain't wrote on that. Well, you didn't fill it up. I've told you from day one, if there's any one single thing I can put my finger on that caused what happened to happen, you didn't fill it up. You didn't do what you could do. You presumed on God. And a lot of people quit sacrificing after July 6th. They occupied, they did the same thing children of Israel did. They entered the land, didn't occupy it. My knowledge of God's word eventually sorts everything out. The last chapter isn't written. I've sat in this chair and told you, I've been many times in my ministry in a place where what God wanted to accomplish required the cooperation of more than one person. It happened once in Springfield, Missouri. It happened another time in Denver. And some units of the necessary combine would not pay the price. We all, the innocent ones as well as the guilty ones, because God could only do what he was, well, he couldn't, it doesn't matter, could. God had chosen to do something through a group. And when one link in that chain fails, like the children of Israel failed, didn't matter about Caleb and Joshua. Moses and Joshua and Caleb couldn't do it. Because God had determined to do it with more than them. Now they all suffered the historic consequences. They didn't all suffer the moral consequences. Now, I've said this to you. I've sat in this chair and said, when you are confronted with a historic opportunity that involves more than you participating, and someone in the chain breaks the necessary participation, all suffer the historic consequences, not all suffer the spiritual consequences. God credits the faithful ones as though the job were done, blames the unfaithfulness totally for the failure, and reconstructs another opportunity for the faithful ones. May or may not, depending upon their repentant spirit, work with those who were unfaithful. Joshua and Caleb made it in 37 and a half years later. What about Moses? He had the best entrance of all on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now it's time for this ministry to get it together again. And get back to the hilarity of giving. And get back to the eternal perspective. And understand that history is exactly that. History. And we are credited with our motives and our faithfulness eternally, regardless of what happens in history. And I will not do penance for those who failed. I did my part. Yes, many of you did. And my faith in God's word says he will reconstruct much greater, as he did with Channel 30. You better get the eternal perspective straightened out. First fruits, heave offerings, all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine, the best of the wheat, and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord. They give it to the Lord. How do they give it to the Lord? Well, they bring it to the priest where God told them to bring it. You don't give to God by just taking it out in the field and throwing it up toward the clouds. I don't think that Washington, D.C. is in Fresno. I'm smarter than that. But the powers that be tell me, pay my tax, Fresno. Well, not until they prove it gets to Washington. Try that. God'll only hand it to the president. Try that. Don't be stupid about God. We accept in the earthly sphere the right of a power to determine the payment place. You write contracts. There's a place where you make your communiques. You send your register letter to that address. Your legal obligation is done. How do I know I'm insured when I pay this premium and deliver it to the designated place? When's the last time you said, I want to go and see that Prudential has, I want to see their bank accounts and their record of payment before I believe that I'm covered. You buy your insurance policy and you pay your premium to the designated place. And then we deny God, God Almighty, the right to say, it's mine. And I'm telling you, pay it here. The Old Testament, you take it to the priest. The New Testament, you take it to the teacher. But it's the Lord's. Sure it is. Because it's the Lord's, he has the right to tell you where to put it. God could have said, get a coffee grinder. Convert your tithe into greenback and grind it up. He has that right. But that isn't what he said. He said, take it to the storehouse where you eat. Now what happens when it gets there? What's the Lord's business? And he said, which they shall offer unto the Lord, Numbers 18:12, them, watch them, the best of the oil, the best of the wine, the best of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. Well now, Mr. Priest, you owe me. I've been supporting you. No, you haven't. Well, I've been given to you. No, you haven't. I'm just the agent, the depository. You give to God at the place he says give it, to the priest. Well, how come he ends up with it? Because after he gets it, here's your money, Lord. Lord says, I give it back to thee. Well, what about me? I gave it first. He's already started working for you when he said he'd give you a blessing for giving him his part. See, the world doesn't accept that God is alive and doing all these things. You pay your tithe, he goes to work on your substance. You pay your tithe where he says pay it, it's the Lord's. Then the Lord decides to give it to whom he will. That's the way the gift ministers stay above your control. Now, if you're of the world would love its own. They have a different way. They're a bunch of sinners who need checks and balances. There ain't nobody to check on them but themselves. They don't believe in God. So they would impose their way on the church. You give it, and when you're giving it, it's the Lord's. Well, what if the preacher misuses it? Amen. It's not my responsibility if after I pay the mortgage to the bank, one of their clerks embezzles. That's between the bank and their employees. It ain't your problem, friend. And it sure ain't the people who haven't given's problem. It's your problem as long as you're holding on to what belongs to God. You better get it out of your hands like a hot potato and put it where somebody else has to worry about it, because it ain't yours, friend. Let's say you were given $100,000 in a duffel bag today. It had to get to Denver, or you're going to be shot at sunrise for that portion that you're responsible. All you got to do is get it inside the hands of the Brink truck driver. I mean, I couldn't wait to unload that bag on that Brink truck driver. And then it's his problem to get it to Denver. Your tithes and offerings are God's money. Your first fruits, the best of them, are the Lord's. You bring them to the Lord. You put them where he tells you put them. Now, you can back off. Ain't your problem. You see, what makes the world mad is God turns around and says, certain parts I want from the priest now, and the rest I give to you. Well, wait a minute. If I'd have known the Lord was going to give it to him, because this priest has a wart on his ear. If I'd have known the Lord was going to give it to him, I never would have given it. You didn't give it. You turned loose of that which wasn't yours. And if you held it past the point of God's time zone, you're a thief and a robber. Who are you to tell God he can't give it to a guy with a wart on his ear? He gave you what you've got. And in some cases, I wouldn't have done that. See, we preachers maybe got some complaints. I just assumed God would give me directly instead of giving it to you first and trusting you to give the tenth to him so he can give it to me. I mean, you get it direct from God. I got 3 or 4 relay stations. Now see, the world calls this rhetoric. If you were of the world would love his own. They don't believe in eternity. They don't believe in God supervising all this. They don't believe in God, the giver of all gifts. They don't believe in laying up treasures in heaven. They don't believe in God's right to lay down formulas. They don't believe in God's right to give his priests what he will. You know what's wrong with Jerry the Fat? He wants the world to accept him. That's why he goes on Nightline. As far as I'm concerned, yeah. Approval of the world means you're out of step with God. because if you were of the world would love its own. You're not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. You better not ever want the world's approval. Just a good grip on their gonads. Secret one. We haven't carried that far enough. You better get on a telephone. Best goes to the priest. Whatsoever is first ripe in the land, everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. It means the firstborn child has to be redeemed back. Try that one on for size. You don't even own your first child. That's the Lord's until you redeem it. That's how far the first fruits go. Try that on for size. Try to get the world with its social organizations to approve that one. Huh? Why are you looking at me like this? Aren't you doing it God's way? Well, let's keep doing it. Give me some music. Get on a telephone. More music. I think it's time for you to talk. I need every single person that's a King's House, King's Tither, King's Dish to tell me what you're going to send in for the balance of April. San Francisco, I was so enraptured by your teaching on giving, it was like a stab wound. A stab wound when Channel 38 went off at 5 p.m. 2 to 5 seems like a half hour. Time sure is relative. We'll be here at 9 p.m. I'm trying to have giving straight. I'm glad God's trying to show me with his word. Now, you folks here in Los Angeles still have us on Channel 30. You could show some appreciation by jamming these phones up. Can you see the Pope going on Nightline? I'm telling you, the Catholics are so much smarter than these stupid jerk fundamentalists. The damage that's done to the church is not what Jim Baker did 7 years ago. It's what these jerks, Jerry Falwell and Swaggart and all these jerks that want to see their face on TV, what they do to the church by getting in the arena of the world and going on trial before the world on their turf. Can you see the Pope sitting down and letting Koppel interrogate him? Give the Catholics credit. The most powerful single man in the world today. There is not a man in the world today that can command as large an audience anywhere in the world as the Pope. He doesn't even go to see the president. He might grant an audience to Reagan. It takes these dumb, uneducated, jerk TV evangelists. I bet they got a little errand boys running around coming in every day with clippings of what the press is saying about them. They denigrate the church with their mouth. As I've said several times, a talking ass in the Bible was a miracle. One that doesn't talk today is a miracle. They're the ones that have damaged the church. By going into the turf of the world and trying to explain to the world on the world's terms. The Pope flies in a jet, and it ain't no piddling little Lear, I'm telling you. Pope lives in a big house. The art alone would pay the national debt of the United States. The Pope has servants, men and women. The Pope runs a bank. Got caught dealing with the mafia on stolen bonds. The church granted visas to Nazis to help them get out of Germany as priests. Catholic churches yet, still today, they haven't yet condemned and excommunicated Hitler retroactive and told God which part of hell to put him in. To thumb their nose at them. When's the church going to wake up? We don't owe the world an explanation. We don't have to defend our freedoms. When did you last see a newspaper representative come from the local newspaper's office and stand outside your door, hat in hand, and explain to you why they have a right print newspapers in America? What about these 976 numbers that television keeps advertising? Make a great moral contribution to the improvement of mental health in America. Doing their little part to prevent the opportunity for the spread of AIDS. When's a church going to get off the defensive? What was my fight for years with the government? I wouldn't yield the simple philosophic point that any government agency anywhere in the world had enough moral character to pass judgment on my church. I insist the reverse is true. My church is passing judgment on them, not the other way around. We don't exist as a church in this country by some edict of toleration and the largesse of the government. Our rights are inalienable. The right of government to exist was a permissive grant of contract. Grow up, folks! You better support this last free voice in America and get God's blessings at the same time. Now get on the telephone. What are you sending in the rest of April? Music. Spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. See, God gave to the people everything. Never gave Aaron and his sons anything. And they're the type of the 1 Corinthians 9, those who preach the gospel in the New Testament. The reason God did that, as he said, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Boy, that's wonderful. They don't get anything. We get it all. behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. I am thy inheritance. The people must give the tenth to me. I give the tenth to thee. Now he puts conditions on it. Just as he puts conditions on you. But see, the vertical perspective is gone when you let the world determine what's going on. If you were of the world would love its own. But you're not of the world because I, the Lord, have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. You do it God's way. They don't believe in the Lord. They believe you're giving it to the preacher. And they don't like that. God's word says you're giving it to the Lord, and he gives it to the preacher. The closer you get to the Lord, the more directly you are dependent on him, the hotter the fire that burns, friend. Just be happy in the place God puts you. Keeping 90%, giving a tenth. Keeping the rest of the year and giving the first fruits. Giving the second and third tithe and being blessed with the rest. Just be happy with what you got, friend. You got a little maneuverability. God's gift ministers are right under his thumb all the time. Well, they sure seem to get away with a lot. And there you go, back in the world's view. Seeing the short view. Man, you don't have to stand before the chief shepherd and give account. There ain't nothing you can do to an under-shepherd. I wouldn't stand in Jerry the Fat shoes in eternity for anything. He told Jim to resign. I read in the paper today that Jerry Falwell said, the ministry, you only get one shot. I wonder when he gets up there to heaven and Abram walks up and he's going to say, what are you doing here? You only get one shot. You make a mistake, you're out, friend. He'd gotten tougher than Tertullian. Tertullian gave you two. You only get one shot. That was in his answer, would Jim Baker come back to PTL? Jerry Falwell says, nope. In the ministry, you only get one shot. He ain't been caught yet. You watch the tune he sings when he gets caught. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, and consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. These jerks are what's destroying the imagery of the church. Even the Assemblies of God gives them a 2-year probation period. Jerry says you only get one shot. I mean, you know, one shot of being a preacher, not one sin. One shot of being a preacher, you make one mistake, can't preach anymore. What are you going to do when David, when God sits, people want to know, who is it that sits on the throne of David during the millennium? That's one of the danglers I've kept for a long time. Well, I'll tell you who the Bible says. David. David. Well, Oh, I can believe in the millennium and the Lord coming back and the devil going to the bottomless pit, but I can't believe David still be alive. What do you think we're going to be? Fuzzy little cloud filaments floating around during the millennium? Have you ever heard the song, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life? David's going to be sitting there. It ain't Christ. Christ ain't going to wed and have babies during the millennium. Well, David gets another shot. Because in the allocation of the land, there is land allocated for him and his sons and his heirs. What's old Jer going to do? But Lord, think of the testimony. 1,000 years. He's going to rule. He had his shot. The only blessed thing about that is unless he changes, you can be damn well sure Jerry won't be there to meddle. He's going to get one shot in hell, a real long one. Let's do it God's way, folks. Get on the telephone. Music.
Doesn't look out, the world who do not believe in eternity will put the church on the defensive about the biblical guarantee that money, which is a medium of exchange, you buy things of value with money, and the world would like to make sure that we don't buy anything in eternity with it. Now back to the old rules, Mike. The current television evangelist flap. I am not one. I am a local pastor, and the Bible distinguishes between teachers, evangelists, pastors, apostles, prophets. I am a local pastor, and the Greek would hyphenate teaching pastor. They're not two separate offices in Ephesians. But the local television evangelist flap carries a much